Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Stonic. You're closer than you think to a 202 Stonic with flexible finance plans from your local Kia dealer.
I'm going to go to Richard. Richard, good afternoon to you.
How are you doing, Sarah?
So, Richard, what's your point?
The point I wanted to make is regarding the extension of the emergency legislation restricting landlords from serving eviction and termination of leases. I'm in a situation where we have a tenant in a house. The rent we charge in the house is a very low rent, and we are receiving no rent at the moment at all. And we're our hands are tied. We've been on to the RTB on several occasions. They've told us to serve a 14-day warning notice, which we've done. We were waiting until the 30th of June. The emergency legislation was due to finish then, at which point we were going to serve the termination notice, which lasts for 28 days. That was extended to the 20th of July, and now they're talking about extending it again.
So just to remind people, because maybe if you're not in your business, you mightn't be familiar with it, but there's been... evictions are not allowed under the current COVID scenario by the government. So, was your tenant in arrears before this COVID issue? No.
No, the rent ceased almost the day the government announced the emergency legislation was being put in place, and so we felt straight away that an opportunity has been taken by the tenant to just use this emergency situation to avoid paying the rent, knowing that he couldn't be evicted, and our hands were tied in how we could deal with it. So since then, there's been several communications by email, and we've tried our best, and we've been on to our solicitor has told us if we take it down the legal road, there'll be many, many months, maybe over a year, before we get any resolution. We've gone to the RTB. They've told us that there's numerous landlords in my position where they're not receiving rents because of where people they feel are. Maybe not everybody is doing it, but I'm sure there's some people who are kind of just trying to utilise the situation.
But could it not just be, Richard, that people are out of work and don't have the money coming in to pay for their rent? Is that not a...
No, totally agree. As I said at the start, I mean, the rent that we charge for our property is very, very low. The timing of this activity, we're also sure that the tenant told us he was out of work, and we're pretty sure that the tenant is not out of work.
What has the tenant said to you? Have there been a communication about why their rent payments have stopped?
Well, communication was very difficult for a time because we didn't have a telephone number, which was the tenant refused to kind of give us a current number. We just got an email from an email address at the start of the COVID emergency legislation saying that he couldn't pay the rent anymore. And so we said, look, so we've been trying to be reasonable, but, you know, there's little or no rent coming in at all. And now we've been furnished with an email telling us that, you know, there's the house in disrepair and we need to repair this, that and the other thing. So we're owed in the region of 7,000
So the tenant who isn't paying any rent is asking for the house that they're living in to be repaired?
Absolutely. So we've been on again onto the RTB. So we've been in communication with the RTB. We wanted to do this by the letter of the law. So we've tried to do this. You know, we've tried to do this in a real proper fashion.
Can I ask you, Rich? Do you have many tenants, or is this a one-off?
No. This is one tenant in a one-off property. I have a couple of other properties, but this is a one-off property. This is a one-off situation.
Right. Do you have any? Have you the other properties rented out?
Yeah, I just have to. I have a commercial property that I've rented to another party, and that's not a problem. You know, the rent, there has been no issue. I had a discussion during the COVID to reduce the rent. There's been perfect, you know, there's been normal communication for me to try and help the tenant and reduce the rent to help them through the emergency. But this is a residential tenancy that we're talking about on this point. And,
okay.
You know, our hands are tied. We can do little or nothing. And the point I wanted to raise was that you know, there's a lot of people. I've listened to many debates on air since this emergency legislation has been put in place, And I think that the perception of landlords is been portrayed very badly. And I think, you know, we're just trying to put together some security for the future, maybe have one or two properties that we can offer to our children for the future. And the appetite to be to have a property and get involved in a residential tenancy in Ireland is less than zero. And again, we've spoken to the RTB on numerous occasions. We've done everything by the book. We've now been advised that we should go and make the repairs to the house to save our tenant having another case for extending his period of unpaid rent in our dwelling further. So now we have to invest further money, even though we're owed, you know, over 7,000 in rent.
Do you have a mortgage on the property yourself?
No, this house is mortgage free. This is a house that this was a house that we had from, it was my wife's first dwelling. So when we got married, she held on to it.
Right. But you're anxious to get paid rent, your rent.
Yes.
How much are we talking about now in terms of arrears?
About 7,000.
And what's your next step then?
Well, our next step is, you know, at the moment we have to wait until the government decide what the emergency legislation will end. And once the emergency legislation ends, we'll be allowed to serve a termination of tenancy document, which gives 28 days within that period. The tenant is meant to leave the house, but then, you know, we're told by the RTB that it goes into another process where the tenant is allowed to appeal this again. And that could carry on, that could linger on for another 6 months, 8 months. And again, you know, there's no pathway, there's no course, there's no other method. We went to a very good solicitor, and even the solicitor has told us. I mean, it's such a grey area in Ireland. It's really, really ridiculous. So in a time when people, you know, I'm sure the government would invite fair and reasonable landlords, people who don't take the humanity out of renting a property to an individual. If they have a problem, we're there to listen. That's what we are. And this house is been rented for probably 2/3 of the market value. So we're not trying to maximise profits. We're trying to be reasonable. But for landlords like us to get into the property market and try and be reasonable, charge fair rents, there's just no rules that kind of allow us to deal with this kind of situation.
Well, I suppose we are, as you said, it's called emergency legislation. It's an emergency situation. The idea that evictions would be off the table entirely is, you know, it's a very unusual scenario to find ourselves in.
I agree. I mean, I find it very frustrating. I mean, I spoke to your producer earlier. You know, a letter I wrote to you earlier, I came up with a suggestion. I mean, it's very easy for government to, you know, to just say, to put a blanket rule in place like this emergency legislation. I'm sure as I talk today, I'm in a similar position to just so many people like me. But it's unfair to put a blanket ban in place, because I think that I put a solution to your producer earlier on, and I had it in my letter, where if government turned around and said, okay, if because we prefer to have tenants safe under a roof, and they might run into arrears. Now, I'm not saying that everybody is taking advantage of the situation. There's probably numerous genuine cases, but there are some, and quite a few, people who are just taking advantage of the situation. So if those people run up arrears, and the government see fit to take the control away from me to deal with this situation, and we end up being owed 10, 12, 14,000 euros, if in the future the government say, you'll be allowed to use that rent arrears that you've not been able to get, against the taxation, we pay over 50% in tax on rent. So if in the future we rent this to somebody else and we take in some rent and we're allowed to use the arrears that were ran up because we have no control against taxation that we'd be expected to pay, well, that will be some would be some level of satisfaction. But right now we own a property, and the person who's paying no rent in our property has more rights than I have.
So you're saying that basically the government introduced this measure, obviously with the best of intentions, and it was supported right across by all parties in the Oireachtas, as I recall, because there was this fear that if people did fall into arrears, that they'd be facing, you know, a wave of evictions, which is the worst possible scenario in a COVID crisis. But you're saying that you're paying the price for that, and not the government.
Absolutely, and like I say, I'd like to make it really, really clear. I mean, you know, there's probably numerous and thousands of genuine cases, and but there are certain cases where people are just taking advantage of the situation, that's a very unfair position where I, as the person who's expected to be law abiding, tax paying, I have no control whatsoever. Every aspect of control has been taken away from me, and I have no idea what I can do with this.
Okay, Richard, stay there because we've had a call in from Jimmy Gearn, Councillor Jimmy Gearn. Good afternoon, Jimmy.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, you were listening to Richard there, and you.
I have absolutely no sympathy for Richard's situation. By his own admission, his tenant wasn't in arrears before COVID. By his own admission, he doesn't know his tenant's circumstances. By his own admission, he has no mortgage on the house. And in the event of him not receiving rent, he'd be able to set that off against any taxable income. I think he's been very unfair. I'm dealing with homeless people regularly, and I think he should be more careful before going on the national airways and assuming that somebody is just being evasive. He does not know that person's circumstances.
Jimmy, Richard. Can I cut across there and say, I'm a tax-paying individual. I pay my taxes. I play by the rules. I do what I'm meant to do. I mean, without me developing income to pay tax, there would be no social welfare, nothing to pay people. I'm sick and tired of hearing a lot of people come on air and saying what people want to hear in the effort to kind of get to, for want of a better description, buy votes. Very frustrating. I have a small business of my own. I play by the rules. If I'm late with my tax and my VAT, people come down on me like a ton of bricks. I play by the rules, and all I expect is other people play by the rules. I put humanity back into renting properties. As I said, I have another property where I gave a person 50% reduction for the COVID period. He was delighted. He paid his rent on time. He played by the rules. I played by the rules. On this occasion, I know I'm not going to go too much into it, but I know the person's situation. They are working. I know it. I mean, I don't want to go any further into it, but it's very frustrating. The person's predicament hasn't greatly changed. I don't want to go too much into it, obviously, for obvious reasons. But please believe me that it's a frustrating situation when I have no.
Sorry, Richard. You did.
One more thing, Jimmy. You say to me that it seems that there's a problem with people in Ireland. I have a property, yes, that we have no mortgage on. I've worked hard. I've worked very hard for many years. I've paid a lot of taxation. I've played by the rules again. And yes, I have a mortgage, but that's not really anyone else's business, bar mine. And I find that I'm not coming on here on the radio today trying to maximise profits or make extra money. I'm coming on making a point that there's people, again, just like other aspects of life in Ireland, taking the rules and using them to their benefit at my expense, at my cost. And I do get to I'm a charitable human being. I do my best for humanity and for people to help me and people around. And I'm sick and tired of people like you coming on the radio and saying, you know, you're wrong. You have no mortgage, so you must have a load of money. So you should pay extra money.
Sorry, Richard. You did cut across me. If I could answer you now. First of all, if it's nobody's business that your property's mortgage-free, you shouldn't come on the national airwaves talking about it. Secondly, I'm not trying to buy votes. I've been elected, and most likely at my age won't be standing again. Thirdly, I'm going on what you said, that you don't know your tenant circumstances. Fourthly, where you talk about being a taxpayer, you and millions others, me included. And the other thing I would say to you, that businesses who are facing difficulty, the VAT man will not be coming down on them, nor the tax man. Because in the same wave of emergency measures, there's a hold on enforcement for revenue for people that can't pay businesses. What you're looking to do is look for sympathy from people that a tenant who...
Jimmy, I'm not looking for sympathy. No, excuse me.
What am I on for?
I'm trying to raise a point. I might be in a position that others are not. There's plenty of people out there. I listened to a person on the radio on another channel the other day who has a mortgage, who bought a house as a small investment, who have a mortgage associated with the rent, and in a very similar position to me. And it's very, very frustrating.
It's very frustrating. No, it's not. Like, sorry, Richard. Sorry. sorry, Richard, don't be so selective. He's not in the same situation as you. If he has a mortgage,
Jimmy, how come my situation...
Richard,
you say that my situation is different?
Sorry, would you have the manners to let me finish, please? The landlord you're talking about that may have a mortgage and is not receiving his rent has also been provided the facility in the emergency legislation where he can park his repayments. So don't come on telling us half the story. And don't come on, it's not as if you're looking for...
Listen, you know, really and truly...
You're sorry, I mean, you're saying, Kate, he's saying it's a very small rent, yet there's 4 months arrears, that's nearly €7,000. That's not small rent. He's saying there was no arrears at the start of COVID. So, you know, it's very hard to have sympathy for somebody who comes on in a time of a national emergency and shows no sympathy.
Okay,
within months, he was into the PRTB.
Okay, Jimmy, I have found somebody who has sympathy. Danielle.
Hi, how are you, Kate?
You do have sympathy for Richard.
I actually do feel for him, and I am a private renter and have never been a landlady, wish I was. But I actually wish Richard was my landlord because we weren't offered any reduction in our rent. But when we got into difficulties, when we had to, where we were laid off temporarily from our job, we applied for rent allowance, which was open to every single tenant in this country, and we received it very quickly.
Perfect.
Now, yes, we did go into 1 month's arrears, not necessarily arrears, but that rent allowance pay backwards, and we were paying forwards. So technically, yes, we owe 1 month's rent, which we will pay because it's owed. Now, people who didn't apply for the rent allowance, the landlord can't be held accountable for that, surely. I mean, it was there, it was available. They were incredibly quick in getting it. There was no checks done. They were incredibly quick in getting it paid up. We had it in our bank account, thankfully, within 3.5 weeks. And everybody was entitled to that. So I can see where Richard is coming from. It is, you know, we never were in arrears at all. We've been renting for years. Our rent is paid on the same date every month. We didn't get anything from our landlady, but that's her prerogative, and we're not going to whinge about it. It's done and it's dusted. He said that he gave reductions in his rent, which was, to me, very fair. And I just think that it is nobody's business whether he has a mortgage or not. I mean, nobody would say it to me. If I had this house and it was mine and I wasn't renting it, nobody would say, oh, you've no mortgage. That's his business.
Yeah. Okay, just to be clear, Danielle, am I right in this, Richard? You didn't offer reduction to the tenant in this property because you said that they were already on a low rent. Is that what you're saying?
We never even had the opportunity. The tenant just, we had no contact details. There was an email sent and we tried to email back and we got no response.
And was there any discussion around the rent allowance and the possibility of the tenant?
No, so the tenant told us that he was going to do everything in his power to try and get, to look at what was available to him as far as rent subsidies are concerned. And look, again, I don't want to go into too many details. Possibly he didn't get the subsidy because maybe his circumstances hadn't changed. And possibly think they are. So I think that his circumstances didn't greatly change. I think he just decided when he heard that there was a situation where the rules were being changed, he just tried to benefit from the rules. And that's the point I'm making. I listened to that lady there. You know, as I said at the start, I didn't read my letter that I wrote to you last night. I'm in business all my life. You have to deal with people on a person-to-person basis, put some humanity into life. And if you play fairly, genuinely, most people in life will treat people fairly if they're treated fairly back. And that's the kind of person I am, and that's the way I've dealt with everybody in my life, both in business and in rent. But we're in a situation right now where somebody is not playing by the rules. I own a property that I pay all the associate taxes and costs for. They have every right not to pay me any rent. And I said it to an auctioneer there the other day in Ireland. I said, you know, it seems to me that in Ireland, really and truly, dare I say on national radio, nobody has to pay rent. And it's very difficult once somebody stops paying rent to get any kind of control because all of the powers are with the tenant, unfortunately. Every power is with the tenant. So, and the auctioneer said to me, you're so right, but don't talk too loud.
Let me just bring in, we're getting a lot of calls in on this, Richard. I want to let somebody else in on this. Eileen, good afternoon to you.
Hi.
Look, all landlords aren't decent people, as far as I'm concerned. COVID came in. My son and his partner are paying $1,150 a month, two small kiddies. She lost her job. She's in the hotel industry. He was lucky enough to keep working. He's on a production line. They went to the landlord. They've never missed a payment. The rent is paid consistently every month. They have the record to show it. You wouldn't even take 50 euros off it. Straight blank, no. Who knows if you can't afford it?
And just as Danielle was saying there, that they immediately went and tried to get and applied for the rent allowance. I wonder, was that an option?
I didn't know about that, and I don't think he knew about it. They've struggled. They've really struggled. She's back now. But for months there, she wasn't. And only for myself and my husband trying to help them out and her parents, they had nothing. There was no empathy from the landlord.
Yeah, Richard.
You know, I think empathy is a great word. Empathy is very important. I mean, and fairness is another important factor. Normal human beings who, you know, think of this lady here who's child and son-in-law and daughter, you know, needed a reduction in rent. Possibly they should be advised that there is subsidies out there. I mean, you know, if my tenant had come to me and says, look, things are difficult, I need a reduction, that's a different conversation to getting an email telling you, I'm not paying the rent, I can't afford it, I'm self-isolating, don't come near me, goodbye.
Yeah, let me just put that to Jimmy. Jimmy, you're still with us?
I am, yeah.
Yeah, is that not a fair point that there doesn't seem to be a lot of engagement from this particular tenant to explain their issues?
I accept that, and that's not right. But what Richard has also told us now that the tenant was self isolating, so that also makes a difference in coming out. Jimmy, that was only.
I don't want to go too much into it because we're engaged at the moment. So I don't. But yeah, it was another tactic.
But Richard, the point you're making is, and I have a lot of sympathy for landlords, and I deal with an awful lot of landlords who are very helpful, some who aren't so reasonable. But the reality is, Richard, you have told us you had no contact, yet you've referred to two or three conversations. You've told us the tenant is self-isolating. You told us the tenant had no arrears before COVID.
I'm not in court here, and I wrote my letter today to make a point, and I'm not trying to isolate my tenant. I'm talking generically speaking. There's other aspects of my relationship with my tenant that I don't particularly want to go into, but I'm just picking the highlights of it, and I'm not picking the highlights
to favour myself. I think it is wrong for any tenant not to pay their rent. I don't condone that at all.
Jimmy, can I point out something to you? If you go onto the website, and PRTB website, Threshold website, any tenant assistance website, the first thing they say at the top of most of the pages that you open is, they can do nothing for you if you don't pay the rent. That they can't assist you if you don't pay the rent. The rules seem to be that you have to pay the rent. But let me tell you, in Ireland, the rules are you should pay your rent. I agree, the empathy is a very important thing. If somebody asks me for some kind of space because of the situation we're in right now, that's not a problem. I'm in business, I'm giving people space all in every aspect of my life. But it's frustrating me that the rules that we've put in place are abusable, and they're being abused, like other rules that we have in other areas of life in Ireland. But this rule has been very badly abused. And I pay my tax on this property. I pay my property tax, I pay the income tax, I pay the maintenance, I pay the insurance. I mean, and I'm here now in a situation where this person in my house has more rights than I have. And that's unfair.
Okay.
And that's the point.
If I could just make one point, Kate, in relation to PRTB and now the RTB. I have engaged with them, Richard, in my role as a councillor. I've engaged with them on behalf of landlords and on behalf of tenants. And I do know the difficulty that both parties can face. All I'm saying is that during an emergency like COVID, a little bit of leniency needs to be shown. And somebody in a rent arrears situation, you need to know the full circumstances, in my view, before a judgment can be made by people on national radio.
Richard and Jimmy and all of you, please stay there. We just have to take this break, but I do want to stay with this after these.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And we still have Councillor Jamie Gearn on the line, who has no sympathy for, or very little sympathy anyway, for Richard, who has a tenant in a property who has refused to pay rent since the start of the COVID emergency. And of course, under the current emergency legislation, Richard cannot evict or move to evict this tenant. I have Mary Larkin on the line now. Good afternoon, Mary.
Good afternoon, Katie.
Now, you do have sympathy for Richard.
I have great sympathy for Richard, and I wouldn't normally contact a radio programme, but I was absolutely seething listening to his predicament and then listening to the councillor. It is true that all of the legislation, all of the sympathy, is totally in favour of the tenants, and landlords have very little rights anymore.
Casey. Is that Jimmy I'm hearing in the background?
Sorry, yeah, no, apologies.
Yeah, Mary, no, continue your point there. You're saying...
Yeah, I've been a landlord myself. I have had very good tenants. I still have very good tenants. But there are great supports for tenants who are not in the way of being able to pay their rent. And as one of your other contributors said, there is rent supplement, there's rent allowances, and it's very quickly put in place. And particularly during the COVID, I must congratulate the various authorities that have managed to get tenants sorted out very, very quickly. So if these people are in trouble, they would be getting a supplement, which should then be passed on to the landlord.
The point, and it's great to hear this, and the point I'm making it, and again, I don't think my tenant's situation has greatly changed, and so he possibly can't apply for a supplement. So
then he has an income, Richard, and he should be paying his fair proportion.
Well, there you go.
Yes, I mean, if there's been a reduction in income, I'm sure, like any other reasonable landlord, you would listen to that.
But I suppose,
yes,
Mary,
come to some arrangement.
If I can put you though, Mary, I hear what you're saying, that there have been changes in legislation in recent years to strengthen tenants' rights, and that maybe be problematic in certain circumstances for landlords. But the reason it was put in place is because tenants were at such a disadvantage in the relationship, and they're still a massive disadvantage because there are so the rents are so high and there are so few places to rent around the country.
Can I make a point on that?
That is true. But at the same time, Katie, the rate is what the market forces dictate. And I am a landlord, and I know in most places I am not getting the market rent. But if I have good tenants and they're paying what they can, then I'm happy.
But would you agree, though, that not all landlords, that not all landlords would take that view?
Yes, but not all tenants play ball either. You see, if you could put the good tenants and the good landlords together, you'd have a very happy situation.
Absolutely.
June, good afternoon to you.
Hello, how are you?
What's your take on this, June?
My late husband was in the process of doing up a building to rent, and he died suddenly. So eventually I got around to doing it myself, and I had such difficulty at times. Now, over the 22 years that I had the rent, had the apartment rented, I had very little trouble. But the trouble I had was absolutely soul-destroying. Now, I'm sorry that the politician of sorts doesn't see any side to it other than his own, and I can understand it because vote-catching is very important in his business. However, I do think that the chap who's renting the property and his rent is up to the, what is it, 7,000? And he hasn't received any in the last while. Let's be sympathetic towards this. This is not his fault. Just because he has property doesn't mean he's a wealthy man. I had somebody in my house, I'm in my property, and they didn't pay for 11 months. And I've tried every advisory body, and I was told all along, sit it out. You can't remove them unless you supply alternative accommodation. That was then. Now, my advice to the chap, the landlord, is just sit it out, because there's no advice for you. There is no support for you. And you may as well sit it out. Don't do anything about it. Just make it as uncomfortable as possible without removing the roof. And they will eventually move. Squatters will go eventually.
What do you mean by as uncomfortable as possible, Jen?
Just ignore them. Just ignore them. If they want to get a slate replaced, you haven't the money. If you want to get the tap fixed, you haven't the money. And that's about the size of it. And it was actually a sergeant who advised me on that. The only way you can actually get people to move is when they move to another property and do the same thing to somebody else.
Yeah. So a guard advised you to make life as difficult as possible for...
A guard in my family. So it was private advice, counselling, but not really. I'm not talking about violence or anything. I'm just talking about when they want something done. And, you know, they're so demanding. We need a new fire. We need a new roof. We need a new this, a new that. And they haven't paid any rent for months.
I was only talking to a friend of mine this morning who told me about a situation in his locality where a family had refused to pay rent on a dwelling, similar situation to my own. The landlord went down to have a discussion face-to-face with the tenant. The tenant took him and physically attacked him in the house. And he went to the guards, and the guards could do nothing about it.
Richard, why? I mean, surely an assault is an assault wherever it happens.
Well, obviously this guy was very frustrated, and maybe the tenant could have said that he was maybe self-defending or whatever the case may be, but this guy was attacked and got no solace from the law. But that's neither here nor there. I think in a time when, you know, another point I'd just like to make, and I said in my letter earlier on, in a time of where we have a supposed property crisis where we haven't got enough dwellings for the amount of people looking for them, I would not blame everybody who has a property for going down the Airbnb route, because there's no contract. You have somebody staying in your house for a week, for a month, they go, they pay the rent, and they leave it, and you get it cleaned. And it's so easy. And entering into what has now been created by the Irish government and by the Law Society, what is a residential tenancy in Ireland, is a minefield. It's a mine. There is no rights whatsoever for landlords. No. The only landlords that are winning at the moment are the landlords who are kind of possibly large-scale landlords who treat these kind of situations in a different manner, where they send somebody around to change locks, maybe throw your stuff out on the road, no sympathy for no aspects, no kind of playing the rules, or no sympathy for the tenants. And there's people out there doing that too. We're not doing that. We're playing by the law. But because we're playing by the law, we're being penalised. And God knows how long it's going to be before we can get our tenant out of the house, and God knows how much rent there will be owed. And I don't think we'll ever see a penny of it.
Oh, stay there, Richard. Michael, good afternoon.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, Michael, you're a landlord as well?
I am, yeah. I gave my tenants notice back earlier last year. I know I'm in the position I can't get into my own house to live because I'm actually getting married later in the year. And I'm in a position, I'm in no man's land. And I followed all the correct procedures. And I'm just keeps, it's so frustrating, you know.
All right, okay. Sorry, take us back. You want to move back, you want to live in this house now that you had been renting?
Yeah. I have, yeah.
Perhaps your politician councillor might advise you on that.
Well, I have done.
Well, first of all, sorry, Katie, if I could, because I think there's an unfair perception being given here. I do not condone anybody who does not pay rent, nor would I condone any landlord deciding to cut off water or gas or electricity to make it difficult for people to live. I think that man who wants to move back into his own house should be allowed, and even if necessary, emergency accommodation should be provided for the family in his house to make way for them. So let's be clear, I've never condoned people not paying, and I don't.
But you did come on, though, because you felt that
find,
Richard...
Sorry, if I may, without interruption. What I do find is an awful lot of landlords are happy to talk to tenants, are happy to take deposits, and then when they find out that they're in receipt of rent allowance from a local authority, they won't take them. And I would find that with over half of the people who have come to me in the last 12 months with housing problems. So there are two sides to the story.
No,
I think anybody not paying rent is wrong.
There are two sides to the story. Like, you know,
if I can just be clear with Jimmy Gairn there, Councillor Jimmy Gairn, was your original point not that you felt that Richard was being selfish and wasn't taking into account his tenants?
I thought that Richard was being very unreasonable on the basis that the rent is only 4 months in arrears. He, by his own admission, he didn't know his tenant's circumstances, and he is already in the process of taking steps to evict them.
If somebody owed you €7,000 and every aspect of the law was telling you that you have no right to go and collect it from the guy that owed it from you, I'm sure you'd be very, very frustrated whether you won the lotto or not. I don't know how much money you
I'm making a point as a counselor who's dealing with people, who's dealing with people on a regular basis in relation to housing. If you had said to me that you were owed your rent since January, I would think that that was an absolute disgrace.
No, I couldn't be owed my rent in January.
I think the charity would make a judgment.
I couldn't be owed from January because if I was owed, because the emergency legislation wasn't in place in January. So literally 24 hours after the emergency legislation was put in place, I received an email saying I wasn't getting the rent.
Jimmy?
Yeah, I'm into the
silence at last.
We don't. Silence, because I was giving Richard the courtesy to finish. The emergency legislation in relation to rent came in about a week after, or 10 days after the COVID outbreak. It did not come in at an early stage. All I'm saying is that in a vacuum of knowing the tenant's circumstances, I have no sympathy for Richard. If it's a thing that the tenant's circumstances have not changed, and he's only abusing emergency legislation, well then Richard will be right to evict him. But he doesn't know that.
But Jimmy, how can he know that, Jimmy?
Well, I mean, his tenant is communicating with him because he did tell him he was self-isolating.
That's what I've been doing non-stop since this started. Non-stop.
But you told us, Richard, that he had communicated a few different occasions to you.
No, once the rent stopped, we started communicating, telling him that we were faced with no option but to, you know, to take recourse in some. And then there was it was just buying time. I don't really want to go into it because, like I said, we've taken the legal route right now. I've come on the airwaves to put the point forward that there are, in my opinion, and it's only my opinion, people abusing this legislation that's in place, and I question the extension of it. And if there is going to be an extension of it, what I did suggest, Jimmy, was if the government see fit to take away my legal rights to my own to my dwelling and
Richard, if I could ask you a question, because I'd be fairly honest. Would you condemn the Garda sergeant who advised the lady on the radio to make life difficult for her tenant and run them out of the house?
Sorry,
I'm asking Richard the question.
Oh, you're still talking. Yeah, okay.
So, Jimmy, absolutely.
I'd just like to clarify something, if I may.
We'll just let you...
When I was advised to make it difficult for them... Is he still talking? When I was advised to make it difficult for them, there was never a question of turning off, as Jimmy said, the gas, and, you know, he is a politician, the gas and the electricity and all of that. There was never a question of that.
Well, what did you mean, June?
He said, ignore them completely. Ignore them completely. And as time goes by, they will move. Because if things start to fall apart for them and you can't afford to fix them, then they move. They move to some other fool like Jimmy, that Jimmy would support and get them into someplace else until they abuse that system as well. And that's okay because that's a vote catcher. But the Richard, I feel sorry for, and I suggest that he just ignore them. And if it's a thing that his mortgage is based on the rent of that property, that's a whole other matter. And another one more point I would like to make before I go. He has every right to come on air and express his opinion because this is still a free country. So he's not a politician. He's just an ordinary landlord who's been abused by the people who are allowed to abuse it, supported by others. So I better go now. But thank you, because my blood pressure is going up. But thank you for having me. Bye-bye.
Thank you, June. Thank you, June. Look after your blood pressure. Jimmy.
Yeah, no, just if Richard could respond, would he agree or disagree with making life difficult for a tenant?
Jimmy, when our position started to go over time, we had loads of people giving us different advice. I mean, literally, one legal advisory was to just do what I said earlier on, go change the locks and just put the tenant out. But, you know, that's not in me, nor is it in my wife.
Richard, who was giving you that advice?
A solicitor told us that you have two options. Because the area is so grey, you either go by the law, which is going to take a long time, and you need to accept that, or you take the other road, which is forcibly remove the tenant and let him come after you legally, which is another point I'd like to make, actually.
But that would be illegal if were you to change the locks.
It would be illegal, but a lot of people...
And you're saying a solicitor suggested that was one of your options?
Two options. Option A, you go after the tenant, or option B, do something to make the tenant come after you. And a lot of people, unfortunately, are taking the latter. We've decided to take the prepper route, but frustration is leading other people to taking the latter route. And sometimes I would ask myself, my tenant right now is doing something wrong. I'm here on National Airways pointing out that somebody is doing something wrong and nobody can help me to fix it. So if I do something wrong, like put my tenant out who's not paying the rent, then I leave the tenant come after me to try and rectify that, that I've done something wrong. I've broken the laws, I've broken the rules. So it's either me break the rules or him break the rules. But it seems to me at the moment we'd be better off if we had just broken the rules, put the guy out, change the locks, and leave the world come after us. Because we're trying to do it by the letter of the law properly, but the law doesn't exist to allow us to have any kind of control whatsoever. And to make it worse, this was a situation that was bad before the legislation came in. The legislation has only compounded it. It's really just made it worse.
Can I just question that just for one moment, Richard? Because I know there have been tweaks and new legislation introduced in this area over the last number of years. But if you look at the difference in tenants' rights here compared to, other European countries where people have much longer leases and much more rights to properties than they would here.
I agree. There's a point that's perfectly raised. I think that there should be rights for both parties. For example, if you enter into a commercial lease, so if you rent a commercial property from me today, if you don't pay the rent, after a period of time, you have to leave. There's no qualms about it. You can't make it, you can't muddy the waters by saying your family are living in there or your residency. There's no muddying the waters. It's black and white. You pay the rent, you stay there, you don't, you go. There's arbitration for setting the rent level. So I would be all for a community where the government, where a government-backed system was put in place, where I could rent my property to government or to somebody who will take it off me for 20, 25 years, whatever the case may be, guarantee me a rent, and take all the problems with it. It would be gladly accepted. But that doesn't exist in every place in Ireland right now. And so
it exists in Ireland.
It only exists in some areas, Jimmy.
Well, most local authorities, and I won't contradict you because I don't know, but I know the local authority that I'm a member of, and I know a lot in Dublin, would be quite happy to take a long-term lease off somebody in respect to that and pay their rent for 20 years.
If that was rolled out globally, it might be a better predicament where tenants would have a better... So the countries you mentioned, like in mainland Europe, well, yes, there's long-term tenancies in place. It suits everybody. Large investment funds buy large amounts of property. They know the return they're going to get on their money. The tenant is secure.
Richard, I quite gladly send you the information that's available from Fingal, where they're quite happy to buy appropriate houses and to give the landlord a 20-year lease or a 10-year lease and guarantee his rent on a monthly basis.
I will say that if that was rolled out, that might be a better solution going forward. But for people who have one or two properties on rent, particularly, like I said, residential tenancies, it's a nightmare at the moment. It really is a nightmare.
Okay, so, stay there. Annette, good afternoon. Oh, no, it's Eric. Eric, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Dion. I actually just wanted to make two points. First point is, the strong rules and regulations that have been introduced by successive governments has made it quite impossible for guys, small-time landlords. It's made it quite impossible for them to rent out places.
So you're a former landlord, Eric, are you?
Yeah, but I would still have, I'd still have some stuff, but I actually can't let it out because, I'll be honest with you, I'm afraid of the tenant's rights bill because it gives me very, very little rights. I've been through the mill with the I think it was that councillor that was on there a minute ago, Mr. the guy that won't let anybody else talk. And the second point I wanted to make was that guy doesn't have to worry about his pension, by the way, but the guy that takes out a property instead of buying a house and renting it out over 20 or 30 years and working hard at, He doesn't get his pension if he doesn't get his rent, if he doesn't pay his mortgage.
But you said there you're afraid of the tenants, the rights of tenants. But surely tenants have to have rights too, Eric.
Of course they have to have rights. But it's like this. I can't afford to drive a Rolls Royce. Right? So I drive an old car. Now, why would somebody go into a house and rent it out? You wouldn't go into a pub and order a drink you couldn't pay for. Why would somebody go into a house and rent it out and think that I owed them a place to live? Why would they think that? You know, I was homeless when I was a kid. Nobody gave me a place.
But I suppose there are circumstances, Eric, and you have to accept that there were people's circumstances change, that they go into an arrangement and...
The bottom line is, you get paid for your job this week, next week, and the week after. You're guaranteed your wages. This guy, Mr. I know everything, a councillor guy, I think I know this guy, by the way, because I think I had dealings in the PRTB.
This is Jimmy, and if we maybe keep it civil.
Yeah, I did. I said Jimmy Two Shoes. That's exactly who I said. That's his nickname as far as I'm concerned. But this guy gets his pension. I don't get my pension unless I pay my mortgage. But he gets his pension, and all he has to do is serve as a counsellor for a couple of terms, and he's set for life.
What's your pension situation, Jimmy?
Sorry, counsellors don't receive a pension.
That's what I thought.
That's nothing for charity, does he?
No, there isn't a pension arrangement for councillors,
okay,
Eric.
But he's doing what he does for charity, is he? Does he get paid?
Yes.
I get paid, yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't. My point about this is, it's as simple as this. If you make it unprofitable for people to rent out properties and flats, they won't do it. And you're going to have all the corporate landlords coming in from the American pension funds, and they're going to take over everything.
And this is the point I was making. This is one of the points I was making. That is what's going to happen. There's so many properties out there right now that I'm sure are empty because landlords are afraid to let them out.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it there. I want to thank you all, Richard, Jimmy, Mary, Eric, and all the other contributors to that conversation. Well, we leave it there, 51551.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.